are listening to the Sound in Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My name is Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are you doing today, Pastor Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing well. You know, each week we've been kind of beginning with a sponsor.
Yeah.
We don't have one this week, and we'll explain why in just a few minutes. But we do want to actually put it out there that
we have some awesome merch.
We have merch. We're not wearing any of it today.
Ah, we should have.
We should have worn the merch.
But we have great merch.
We do. We have Faith Baptist Fellowship merch, and we have podcast merch that you can get through the store if you go to faithsf.com/store. faithsf.com/store. Our church website slash store. We have both the faith merch on there, but we also have podcast specific merch on there.
So we don't get any money from that.
No, we do not.
But it does help us because you promote what we're doing.
And yes.
We have this really cool bearded bald guy logo and all of that. And it's a really cool logo. Kudos to Elijah Myers for putting that together for us. Get some merch, wear it. Maybe somebody will go and check out our podcast.
We're not trying to build a kingdom for ourselves
here.
We're not trying to build, some big celebrity following here. But what we're hoping to do, what we hope to do through this is, first and foremost, be an encouragement to our church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, and then if
anyone
the Lord would
listens,
allow, expand beyond that, talking about just everyday things in the life of the church, in the life of the Christian, that would be an encouragement and would be relevant to their lives and in ways that are helpful. And that's what we're seeking to do. And that brings us to our topic today.
Right on.
Which is a very serious topic, and we want to treat it seriously. And at the same time, we want to treat it very carefully with Scripture and what we're talking about. And that's the issue of pornography and lust. Mm. We're calling this episode Prepare for Battle, and it is waging war against sin, the sin of lust and pornography. This is a big issue.
It really is.
And it's really a huge issue that we need to talk about. So let's jump in here. First of all, I just want to ask, why are we talking about this? Why has it become so common today?
Yeah, so I mean, it is common. It's a very common issue that people struggle with. And I've, in all of my pastoral ministry, it has been. Like, it's been a pretty central topic of counseling that I've addressed through the years, right now and all my years of ministry. And so it's a big issue. I've seen guys struggle from high school into their marriages, and I've seen it waylay people. I've seen it in the sense of I've seen it actually become the root that the crack in the foundation that destroys a marriage. It's a huge problem among Christians, and it's something that's helpful to talk about.
Yeah, and
we want to be helpful in that.
Lust is not a new thing.
No,
lust has been around ever since the beginning of time. Since the fall, and so it's been a problem throughout human history. But what we're seeing today is so just easy access being able to gratify lust.
I think that's why it's grown, why it's become so ubiquitous, is because we have access. Everybody has smartphones, and web devices and computers and things like that. And so it's easier to access than it was, say, when I was a teenager, and you'd have to go into a store, if you really, you'd have to have courage almost to indulge. You'd have to go to the store and you'd have to buy it. You'd have to ask somebody to get it because it was behind the counter and whatever. And people were more reticent to do that because of the embarrassment of it, it's a sin that can be carried out in darkness without anyone knowing, as it were. And it usually begins small, and like all sin, it's interesting, and I won't, I want to be careful in how I address this, but it's in the end, people are looking at things that would horrify them in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, that would disgust them and make, you know, it would strike them as utterly awful.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's what they're looking at and wanting, you know, and that's the progression of sin. And so it starts this small thing of looking at different things on just common websites, and then going to where they're hiding payments for it. They're, you know, just it becomes an awful, awful cancer in the heart of a Christian.
Yeah, and it's almost like a drug addiction in some ways. Yeah. I know it's been compared to that, and I'm not going to delve into areas that I don't fully understand, but there's a reality to which people become addicted to this, and as they become addicted to it, what they're looking at, what they're searching for, is becoming more and more perverse, more and more extreme, to the point where they're looking at just horrible things.
Yeah,
and things that they would horrify them otherwise, but they've gotten to this point now with it.
Yeah, I think the language of addiction is okay to use. The problem I have with it is that we sometimes we could view that as if they're not responsible. And
true,
you know, these are desires that they've cultivated.
Yes,
you know, they're absolutely culpable for that desire. I mean, but it does become such a habit, such an ingrained desire that it becomes like a magnet, and you know, it's hard to pull away from.
Yeah, and that's a good distinction to make, because it's not as if we're a victim of this.
No,
we have engaged in it. People who do this have engaged in it, and cultivated it to where it's become this habit in their life.
So, as with all sin, but really, really painfully obvious with the sin, increasing demands and decreasing reward, and that's what I mean. Drugs do this too. So, I mean, a person who's struggling with this needs more and more to satisfy that. They're never satisfied, and to satisfy that thing that they think they need to satisfy. They need more and more and more, and they're getting less and less in return. And so that's why it just grows in their heart as they cultivate this desire, to the point where they're usually exposed, because you know they're doing it so much that somebody noticed.
Yeah, and so you know, maybe I don't, you know, for lack of a better term, this epidemic has just come about to the degree that it is right now in the last couple of decades, with the advent of the internet and cell phones and all of that. You know, like I said, lust has always been there. It's not as if lust is a new thing, but ways to gratify it have increased to the point where now the problem is just ubiquitous.
It is.
Throughout society and even among Christians.
Yeah. But don't take that, like if you're a listener who is struggling with pornography, don't take that as like, okay, it's all right then because everybody's doing it. You know, because that's a huge danger. And not everyone is doing it. There's I don't struggle with pornography. I'm happy to say by the grace of God. Not everyone struggles with it. And it's not okay, because a lot of people struggle with it. Like sin is never okay. Like this will destroy you.
And that's why we're using the language here, prepare for battle. That's why we're calling this episode that. It's waging war against the sin of lust and pornography. These are not things that should be taken lying down, taken lightly. If this is an issue in your life, we want you to go to war against it.
Yes.
We want you to battle against
it. See how serious it is. See how destructive it is. See like how this wants to kill you.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
This wants to destroy you.
As the Puritan John Owen said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. And it's a poignant thing. And we hope with this episode to offer some practical steps that can be taken, some biblical steps that can be taken to truly engage in battle with this as we get on right here. Yeah. Is this a bigger problem among men or women?
It's fair to say it's a bigger problem among men.
Yeah.
But you know, I know that women struggle with this too. So
growing.
Growing. So I don't want to, I think it's safe to say that it's a bigger problem with young men or men.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a growing and a real and present danger for women too.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, more and more we're seeing it happening at younger ages.
Yeah. But it's the access. The access is there at younger ages.
Yeah.
And the way that, you know, again, you know, it's these devices that we have, you know, that that are so helpful in scheduling my whole day and all the different things that these things do, they also come with great dangers. And that's one of them. It's one of the biggest ones.
Well, I want, you know, there's a question here that we have on our outline, right, about advice for people who are secretly struggling with pornography. I actually want to come back to that in just a few minutes,
okay?
Because I kind of want us to make us, I want us to make the case very clearly here, because there might be some questions in people's minds. What does the Bible have to say about this? You know, isn't pornography a victimless crime? Is it really that bad if I'm looking at it every now and then? Because there might be some people like, yeah, I struggle with it every now and then. It's not that it's not a big deal in my life.
Right.
Maybe I'm not looking at it every week. Maybe just every couple months.
Just to add to that, in our society, it's becoming more accepted with the ubiquitous nature of its use. It's becoming more accepted to the point where some people are saying it's not really that bad. It's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah. You know?
And I mean, like healthcare professionals sometimes are saying this. You know, so there's some. Yeah, we have to continue to hold our ground and state the case that no, this is sinful and harmful.
Yeah.
You know, God does not want this in your life. It will destroy you, and it's not good for you. And the Bible is clear on the sin of lust.
Where are some places we can go for that in the Bible? I mean, you know, how would you make that case to a Christian that looking at pornography is sin?
Sure. I mean, it's easy to make the case. I just preached through Philippians not long ago, and Philippians 4 tells us what to think on, you know, and it's a positive list of things to think on. It's not a vice list, as it were, but it you know, I'll just read it. It says, finally, brothers, this is Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. God is a certain way, and he wants us to think the way that he is. And lust and sexual sin is not the way that he is. And
yeah.
So, you know, Jesus teaches on the sin of lust.
Yeah, I have it right here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You've heard it, that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yeah, and you know, it's the last command of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, not to covet, and not to covet your neighbor's wife. You know, so there's, the reality that our desires shape, like they're a huge part of who we are, right?
Yeah,
and when they're disordered, there's disorder that follows. You know, and so. The Bible has a lot to say about what we think and why not to think certain. Jesus said that that you should go after this as if plucking your eye out.
Or cutting off.
Or cutting off your hand. You know, like like this, like he stresses the seriousness of this sin, you know, of the nature of it, you know, of lust. It doesn't take long to build a pretty strong biblical case on why the Bible commands holiness and thought, you know, and pornography and the use of pornography and the sin of lust is a departure from that in every way.
Yes. I mean, Jesus says it's adultery to lust and to fantasize and to do those kind of things, to look with lustful intent is adultery. It is breaking God's law. It is an offense to his holiness.
Yeah, and it's horrible for us too.
Right.
Proverbs teaches about, you know, the wayward eye and why we should delight in our spouse and all of those things. So
it is not a victimless sin.
It isn't.
You know?
It isn't in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just start on the surface with that. It's not a victimless sin in the sense that it utterly corrupts the way that you see people, you know, other people of the opposite gender. You know, it corrupts the way that you see your wife if you're married. You know, it corrupts the way that you see sexuality. There's a lot of victims in that, you know, because people are treated worse because of it. But right at the heart of it, you know, pornography. Is typically an expose of abuse.
Yeah.
There's like what you're watching is somebody being abused.
Yes.
You know, you're watching somebody being abused by somebody else. And they're not helped by that, you know, in the end, you know, they're hurt by it tremendously. And I think across the spectrum, they're hurt by it. And so, you're watching abuse, you're celebrating abuse of people.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing victims everywhere you look.
This is a human being created in the image and likeness of God. This is someone's daughter.
Right.
This is,
or son,
you know, and you can go down the list of just also the trafficking that's taking place out there that's involved with this industry. It is not victimless.
It's not victimless, and the ubiquitous nature of the demand, like people wanting this, and that goes, like, listener, if you're struggling with pornography, you clicking on that is you demanding it.
Yeah,
you know, that's what increases the abuse. Like, that's like, and again, there's a real person there that's really being harmed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, don't think of this as a victimless crime. And we're not just trying to make you feel bad. Like,
no, we
just want you to see what this really is.
See the weight and the severity of
yeah.
It, and that's part of what, when people are deceived by thinking, oh, God will forgive me, or this is not a big deal, or this is just a little thing, or there's not really a victim here, they need to see the weight of the sin.
They
need
do.
To recognize the sinfulness of the sin, because we are to recognize its abhorrence, its awfulness, and flee from it, and flee to the beauty of Christ
Amen.
That he offers. So with that case made there of it is clearly condemned in Scripture, lust, adultery, all of those things are condemned in Scripture, with recognizing how awful this is, and the victims of this abuse that is taking place. Okay, what are some bits of advice? Because so many people are struggling with this.
Yeah, so like the person's struggling in secret.
Yeah.
Who's never, you know, this is something he just does or she just does, you know.
I have four bits of, four C's that I will often give to people along the way when I'm counseling them if they're struggling with sin. First is confession. Confessing that sin to the Lord. And I would encourage them to confess to a brother or sister in Christ, or if they're married, confess to their spouse that sin, but bringing that sin into the light. And it doesn't necessarily mean getting up in front of the whole church and announcing it, but confessing it, bringing it before the Lord, acknowledging the sin as sinful, and confessing to another brother or sister in Christ. And the second is cut off access. What you mentioned just a few minutes ago, where Jesus says, you know, it's like cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye. Sometimes drastic steps have to be taken to cut off access to where you're searching for it, where you're looking for it. And I know a brother who dealt with it for a long time and finally got fed up with it and said, I've got to do war with this. And so he got rid of his smartphone and got a dumb phone because that was the portal of access that he had. And that eliminated, like, the vast majority of temptation for him was, I don't have a smartphone anymore. I can't have access to that. All of my other avenues for the internet have filters on them and blocks and safeguards and stuff like that. So that was critical for him. Mm-hmm. The other is church. Be in the local church. Be in church community. Be faithful in worship. Find people with whom you can be accountable. And then finally is cultivating a rich faith in Christ. Because so often I think people, when they're dealing with a sin of this magnitude or a temptation or a besetting sin that they have, they can kind of think, it's all about not doing something. Whereas as Christians, we're called to be engaged in growing and nurturing our faith that we have. And I think, you know, so those are just kind of four steps, but elaborate on, you know, some thoughts that you have further, because they might be overlapping here with what I just said.
Well, I just want to go back to the guy who's struggling in secret.
Yeah.
Like the first step kind of thing. You know, if you're struggling in secret and you've never, you know, this hasn't come out yet, your wife doesn't know, or you're, you know, no one knows. I think that first, I think you should repent. You know, you should own this and repent. And part of that repentance has feet to it. You need to tell somebody. Now, I will say this: you need advice on whom to tell. You know, so go to a believer who is the same gender as you,
mm-hmm.
and who is mature in the Lord, somebody that you know is a mature believer, preferably in the church, you know, in yeah. your church that you go to, who that person could then perhaps help you understand how big the circle needs to be, because you do need to be careful how big that circle yeah. is, yeah. you know, and what's helpful and what's not, and that kind of thing. But you need to own it. You need to own it. You need to repent. You need to see this as a great sin in your life, a besetting sin. And you need to bring it before the Lord in repentance. And I think you need help. You need somebody who can draw alongside you and can encourage you in this
yeah.
and help you. So absolutely repent. If you're a church leader, and you need to tell your other leaders.
Yeah.
I do think that this disqualifies a person from being an elder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to know. It's not being a husband of one wife in one sense,
yeah, like yeah.
a one woman man, and it's not sober minded, and it's not. There's just so many ways that this disqualifies a man, and so, I think we should own this. We should confess it. We should repent of it, and start making steps like some of the ones that you outlined there, to begin fighting this in a real way.
Yeah.
This, you got into this over time, and it's going to be messy to get out of. Like, it's going to be, there's going to be some work
yeah.
needed, and effort to push back and fight back. But then let me say this with all of this. Remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins.
Yes.
You know, though our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. So you can't hear this and, you know, all the talk about the victims and there's a lot, and I don't want to lessen the seriousness of this or the gravity of it even a little bit. But the gospel, like what Christ did on the cross, he died on the cross for your sin so that in trusting in him, you are justified before God and made righteous.
Right. Amen.
And you have to take that sin back to the cross,
yeah.
you know, first and foremost. This is where repentance finds its true feet. You know, like, I bring it to the cross and I recognize Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
He died for that sin.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, these things need some real steps. And I think cutting off access and finding accountability and those kind of things are crucial.
Yeah, amen to all of that, because one of the things I think can be just contribute to the darkness of this sin is the idea that I'm unredeemable.
Yeah,
I can't get out of this. I'm stuck. I'm never going to get free of this. And because of the cross of Christ and because of his Spirit, we can be free. People who are engaged in this sin can be set free from it. Christ can help you overcome this sin, and you can rejoice in the cross and the forgiveness that you have in him and flee to him. So we're not left as orphans. We're not left without help. Christ can help you get free of this. And so thanks for all of that, you know, wise counsel there about confessing. We should confess to someone who's wise, who's mature in their faith. Here at Faith, I mean, I just think about our context. If this is something that anyone within our church is struggling with, we, your elders, are here for you, and your pastors. We are here to care for you and walk alongside you. We are not going to crush you. We are not going to slap you around. We want to lovingly come alongside you.
That's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, this is why we're doing this.
Yeah.
So if this is something, friends, that you're dealing with and you've never confessed it, I would say reach out to one of us on the Elder Council. If that's difficult for you, if it's a woman who's dealing with this, we have many wise, mature Christian women within our church who would love to meet with you. We have faith group leaders.
We have
biblical counselors.
Who are equipped and know how to handle and walk through this with somebody. Let me say something else. You know, I said that it was a breaking of the 10th commandment. You know, it's also, and this is really important, and even more foundationally than anything else, actually, like your fourth C, you know, like it is a breaking of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
And I find it super helpful to recognize the idolatry of this, you know,
that
you are turning to something. You feel like you have a need. You feel like you are unfulfilled in a certain area. And you turn in a way that is against God, right, on your own, without any thought of what God wants for your life. You're turning to your own thing to fill that need, and that becomes a god to you. I mean, it's the one of the all false gods are ugly, but this is an ugly god, you know, and yes, it makes a horrible god, and it turns you into its slave, as it were, and it's idolatry. And so therefore the answer, the ultimate answer to the sin of lust and the sin of pornography is true worship of the one one true God. What it all comes down to, and when I'm talking to a young man who's struggling with this, we're talking about this all the time, like, you have to pursue Christ. Like,
yes,
you're a lot of books really focus on how much time has been between you and when you last fell and looked at it and all that stuff. I'm not interested in that as much as I'm interested in, you have to turn to the one true God, and find your happiness and your satisfaction in Christ. Mm. And when you do that, like, your goal is not how much time, your goal is holiness.
Yeah.
It's not even like I'm not being addicted to porn. Your goal is holiness.
Holiness.
Holiness is the answer.
Pursuit of Christ.
Yeah. The pursuit of Christ. Making. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that can be such a helpful bit of advice for someone who's struggling with this and is genuinely wanting to be set free from this. When you wake up in the morning and you're thinking, I've got to not look at porn today. I've got to not look at porn today. I've got to not look at... Okay, flee from ungodliness. Flee from sin. Yeah. But what are you pursuing?
Yeah.
I want to be satisfied with Christ today.
I mean, if you boil down everything we're saying, is turn to Christ with this sin.
Yes.
Trust in Him for forgiveness and find your ultimate delight in Him. Yeah. And you will be satisfied in Him forever. He is the only one who satisfies.
In many ways, it's connected to what you've been preaching about in John chapter 4, the woman at the well.
Yeah,
it is. You know, she needed water that would satisfy her.
That's what she was looking for.
Right.
And that's what we're all looking for.
Yes, and the sins of lust and pornography are never going to satisfy you. You're going to be constantly thirsty.
But it's an avenue to which many men turn, right, and many women.
It is. They think it will quench their thirst, and it doesn't. It doesn't satisfy.
And they learn that Christ the hard way. You know, this is one of the reasons we're doing this podcast. You know, you keep pursuing this. You keep thinking, if I could just drink a little bit more, if I could just have a little bit more, it will never satisfy.
It will.
It'll leave you dry, empty, dead.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about ways to fight this sin of lust and pornography. We've talked about some ways the church can help. Do we have any, resources and books that are out there? I brought a few. I know you might have some in mind that you would like to recommend.
Yeah, I think there's several out there that have been written that are pretty helpful. Heath Lambert's wrote a book 10 years ago or so called Finally Free. Mm. And I really like his holistic approach. Like, he's not just about accountability. He sees the whole package. And I think that's helpful. Like, it's a good first book to read, I think, as you dive into this battle.
I brought three here, and these are just ones that I've found helpful over the years in counseling people. This one came out not too long ago, The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity Building a World of Nobility by Ray Ortland.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, and I've heard it's really good. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I've heard a lot of good about that book.
And really, what we were talking about at the beginning, when it brings out the seriousness of the sin, he does a good job of revealing, oh man, this isn't just a victimless thing. There's real weight to this.
A lot of people are talking about that in biblical counseling circles. That's a good book to read.
Another good one that I found very helpful, Holy Sexuality in the Gospel by Christopher Ewan. Mm-hmm. And have you read this one here?
No.
Forward by Rosaria Butterfield. I won't give too much away. He is a professor at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he shares a lot of his own story. Of course, some of his struggles were unique towards same-sex attraction and things like that. But really, the subject matter that he covers here is applicable to everyone who might be dealing with lust or temptation, sexual sin of some kind. And just really, to the last point of cultivating a deep spiritual life, pursuing
holiness.
Donald Whitney. If you ask me for a book recommendation, like 9 times out of 10, I'm just going to recommend this book because it is such a good book. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Don S. Whitney. Grow in your faith.
Yeah.
Pursue spiritual disciplines. Pursue habits of grace. Yeah. And there's another great book, David Mathis, Habits of Grace. And so pursue those things that are going to cultivate a rich love for the Lord in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a great book right here.
And then maybe I'll just add to that one that you would be surprised to hear me recommend when it comes to the battle of against pornography and lust, but When I Don't Desire God by John Piper.
Mm.
I think it's excellent. I think it's a recalibration book. It's one of my favorite books that John Piper has written, When I Don't Desire God. It's an oldie and a goodie, and I think it's awesome to bring to the fore as you're working through this.
In many ways, if someone's caught up in that sin, they're not desiring God.
Oh yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lack of desire for God. Well, we haven't covered this subject exhaustively.
No,
but we hoped, you know, that through discussing it would be help to others. If you know someone who's struggling, share this episode with them.
And if you're at Faith Baptist Fellowship and you're struggling with this sin, we're here for you. We want to do what we can to help you. Come see us. We'll talk to you, and
we will not
try to point you in the right direction. Yeah, we're not.
Yeah,
we want to help you. We want holiness in your life to burst out. Yeah,
amen. We have a few questions from our listeners today.
Here we go.
All right, the first one comes to us from Max. It says, "For non-believers, is death the end, or are they facing eternity as well, yet separated from God?" John 3:16 talks about perishing versus eternal life. One of the definitions of perish is to suffer death, complete ruin, or destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 talks of eternal destruction and separation from our Lord. This comes from Max. I think what he's getting at here is the question of
annihilationism.
Yeah. You know, are the unrighteous, are the ungodly who die outside of Christ, are they in eternal torment, eternal hell, or are they just destroyed and annihilated for all eternity?
I think the Bible is very clear on this. They are destroyed for all of eternity, and in that they are in a state of being destroyed forever and ever and ever, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So there's conscious destruction taking place for all of eternity.
Yes. Hell is real, hot, and forever, and that's that's helpful to remember. You know, that's helpful to remember. God's wrath will go on and on and on. And, you know, I mean, it helps us with the urgency of the gospel and why we must preach the gospel and why we must believe the gospel and turn to Christ, you know.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there. Scripture makes it clear that this is a conscious torment that they're enduring, not a annihilated once and for all, and then they cease to have any consciousness or existence from that point on. Their souls continue in that state of eternal torment. Yep. Yeah. We have a question here, anonymous question. Is there a time when compromising is biblically justified? Say in passages like Matthew 17, 24 through 27, can you give some practical advice about when to compromise and when not to in things like friendship, marriage, and disagreement at work? And I think what is meant by compromising here is not sinning, where you compromise on God's commands, but it's finding practical compromises with people with whom you might disagree, or having to live within the confines of society. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it would take, I think, an episode to really unpack that. But you should never compromise your convictions.
Yes.
You should never compromise on biblical truth. Like, you're not called to compromise in those areas. I think on preferences, on things that, like, if you're going to compromise on, you know, your comfort, that's certainly great to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're called to look after the interests of others. But compromising on biblical truth, it takes some biblical wisdom to know, like when you're crossing the line of compromising. Like, I sometimes hear people say things that aren't true, and I don't feel that it would be wise, and I don't think in that moment it would be wise for me to address it. And, you know, like, maybe it's a very immature person who has a lot of other things going on in their life, and that isn't the biggest thing or even a significant thing, and I would just let it go. I just don't think about it. I don't comment and affirm, you know, which I think would be a compromise.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe I don't comment on it. And so That's not a compromise. The line of compromising is when you're affirming your, you know, and I on biblical truth, you just can't do that as a believer.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for those questions. As always, you can go to faithsf.com/soundinfaith and send us a question. Like, subscribe. You can check out the store, buy our merch, church merch, podcast merch. We don't get any profit on that. Yeah, we have them listed at cost. You've been listening to the Sound in Faith podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.